Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight. Hey, Katie.
Hey,
T. We do this every time.
Hi. I also like, wrenched our plans because we were going to speak later this evening. And I was like, are you available like right now?
No, but I prefer it, I think, right now.
You know what's really funny? I was like, I feel like a lot of our better conversations happen when we still have brain cells floating through our head. And it happens to be like right around this time by 8 and 8:30. I think you and I were like,
yeah, because I'm always like,
sentences.
No, I'm in bed by 9:30. So by like 8:30, I'm like, I have winded down.
Slowly like shutting down all its gears.
Yeah. And it was perfect timing because you texted me as soon as I got home from the gym. Like I had just sat down on the couch and you texted me and I was like, perfect.
I don't know about you, but like, because I logged off. I had a really busy meeting day. And I feel like my best ideas come to me when I start like walking or running. Like,
yeah.
I'll be sitting in front of, I think it's like you're like narrowed in on something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you finally like step back. Like I was listening to my audiobook and I was like, Katie, you're fucking free. Your mother-in-law is going to give your daughter a bath because your husband's out tonight. Like you've got at least like 45 minutes. Like just bang it out. Like just do it now. So I was like, are you free?
I'm free.
So here we are.
Katie loves to bang it out with me.
Duh.
We're just spilling the tea today. I feel like I haven't really read that much since the last Spilling the Tea episode. I only have like 3 books, I think, that I really like want to talk about.
When was our last episode?
Last week we talked about Love of My Afterlife. So the week before that was Spilling the Tea. And I think I talked about like Elsie Silver and A Little Life. Remember I went on that whole like A Little Life rant?
So the week of the 7th. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only have 3 books, potentially 4, because I'm almost finished with my next audiobook.
I was going to say, I have 3 that I definitely will talk about. And then I'm 200 pages into Bright Young Women.
Okay. Can we start? Let's start there.
Okay. Let's start there.
I'm going to listen to this next on audio.
So, okay, yeah. So it's Bright Young Women by Jessica Knoll. She is the author of The Luckiest Girl Alive, which I have. I read it like when it came out in 2015 and I really liked it. And then the Netflix movie came out a few years ago with Mila Kunis and it was terrible.
That's a letdown.
A really big letdown. So if you do like this, if like you like her writing style, I would suggest The Luckiest Girl Alive. But Bright Young Women, it is kind of like based on the Ted Bundy murders, but it focuses on the serial killer, it focuses more on the women and like the like survivors, which I appreciate. And they don't ever refer to the killer by name. They refer to him throughout the book as the defendant.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
And like it's used because like why, like we're not going to give this man more attention than he deserves. Especially because during the Ted Bundy murders, like people were, what's the word? They were like glorifying it because like women found him attractive. Mm-hmm. So instead of like, you know,
he was charming. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Whatever. Caring about like the victims. They were whatever.
I feel like a lot of times and like even like school shoot, not to get deep, but like, I feel like even with like school shootings, like I feel like there has been a switch recently.
Yeah.
Which is like even sad that we have to talk about this, but I feel like in the past, like you so focus on just the killer.
Yeah.
And I get that there's like some intrigue there. Like who was this person? Like was there like,
cause like before? What kind of crazy person would do this horrible thing?
But like, I like that there's a focus more on the victims at the end of the day. Like those are the innocents. Like,
yeah.
Right? Like, those lives were taken. Their families are impacted. Like if you choose to do a bad thing in the world, why should you be put on this pedestal? Like why? Like you're almost like making yourself famous.
Like immortalized.
Yeah. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like goodbye. Like,
yeah.
We should talk about the victims. That's
yeah.
My
so it follows Pamela. Pamela is one. She is the president of the sorority where 2 women are killed and 2 women are brutalized. And then it follows Ruth, who was a previous victim, like, years prior in Utah.
Okay.
And Tina is, like, best friends with Ruth. And when the murders happen in Tallahassee, she goes there and she shows Pamela a picture of the guy who killed Ruth, who escaped from prison. And Pamela's like, this is the guy. So they kind of, like, team up and are, like, looking together yeah. because, like, the Tallahassee police are, like, not taking Pamela seriously, really. They're trying to pin it on one of the victim's, like, ex-boyfriends, who is a piece of shit, but, like, it's not him. But, like, he still is a terrible guy, but, like, it's a whole thing. So it kind of goes back and forth, like, between, like, Ruth in the past, and Ruth is a victim, and then Pamela in the present, who was, like, at the house the time of the murders. And it is really, really good. My only complaint, like, 200 pages in, is that I feel like, because, like, we're bouncing back and forth, like, I kind of want to, like, know the story.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, like, we're getting somewhere. And then it, like, it goes to the other POV. And then I'm like, okay, we're getting somewhere. And then it goes back. And I'm like, no, like, just
pick a side.
But the writing is really good. The story is really interesting. I like the characters a lot. Okay. Pamela's POV is in the past and in the present. So it starts off, like, present day. And okay. she has to go to Tallahassee. Like, she gets, like, a letter from someone. You don't know who. I don't know who yet. And she has to go back because whatever. I actually still don't know. So I like how it's, I do like how it's told. I think it would be really cool in, if it was like a limited series, like maybe like a 5 to 10 episode, yeah. like series, if they like decided to make it into something, to see like how they would do it. But I'm really liking it. So I want to know what your opinion is when you start the audiobook.
Told me about it a long time ago. But I'm very in my, like, I don't want to call it a thriller era. Cause like, I feel like I'm just dipping my toes into these books. And like I think of Mary, cause like Mary loves thriller books. Mm-hmm. And I feel like on the scale, like I'm over here where like, there's more mystery and intrigue. There's nothing too crazy. Whereas like Mary has like dipped her toes across the board and like reads disturbing books. So I'm like, yeah. I haven't gotten there yet, and I don't know if I want to venture there yet. So, like, this one I feel like fits right in.
I don't know. I think Mary has read it. If you're looking for a mystery thriller, like, kind of disturbing book, it's called The Butterfly Garden. Read it, like, 10-plus years ago, I think. I feel like Mary may have read it, too. But it's about, like, this... I guess like a serial killer. He kidnaps women and he like brings them to his greenhouse and then he tattoos their backs to look like all different like butterflies. It's kind of like a crazy story. So if anybody's looking for something, it's by Dot Hutchinson. If anybody's looking for something kind of like a little more thrillery and a little more like, I don't know.
Like that's not to determine. Like I wanted to look at hidden pictures, and like Mary said she loved it, but she loved it is like let me rephrase. She read it in a day, but she doesn't know how to rate it yet because as much as it was good, there's things that like there were disturbing aspects to it. So I'm like I don't know what I'm ready for. So I feel like what you're reading now, like I'm very intrigued about. I'm almost done with my audiobook, so that'll be next on my list.
Well, keep us posted.
Will do. We shall reconvene, which is nice, like, because tomorrow I have to do a run, and then I have an hour and a half drive on Wednesday. Both ways will be 3 hours.
Sorry.
I don't care. So I'm hoping, like, I can finish a lot of my audiobook tomorrow so I have more time to listen to come on, Katie. We just at the table. Young Women. So this way we can kind of maybe convene a little sooner rather than later about it.
Yeah. So the first book I want to talk about, well, I guess not the first book, the second book, Beartown by Frederick Bachman. I don't think I talked about it on the podcast last time. Because I started on the 8th, so I think that I said I was going to start it. And I started on audio. All three books in the series are on Scribd or Everand for free. Well, not for free. I guess you like for part of your subscription. And then, so I started it on audio, and the audiobook was really good. And I was like, oh, I'll do a hybrid. Like, I'll listen while I'm driving to work, and then I'll read, like, while I'm home. Except when I got home and I started reading, I, like, couldn't put it down. So I only, like, listened to, like, 12 chapters on audio. And then the rest of it I read. And it was just, like, such a good story. I don't, like, it was really hard for me to review. Like my review on Goodreads is this book is so fantastic. I don't know how to review it, but it kind of like, it starts out, I go into a lot of books blind. So I thought it was going to be like a cute little story about this hockey team and like a town that is obsessed with their junior hockey team. And it turns into something kind of completely different, but I think it's just like, I love the characters and spoiler alert, I guess, and trigger warning too at the same time. There is like the star player, like the town hero, town sweetheart. He ends up raping the GM's daughter.
That's nice.
At a party after the team wins like the semifinal game. And she at first like doesn't want to like make a big deal out of it or tell anybody. So she like burns her clothes. She immediately goes home, takes a shower, burns her clothes, kind of like, you know, the two things you shouldn't do because now there's no evidence. But a few days later, she has a change of heart because she sees a few young girls like playing in the street. And she's like, if I don't say something, like then the same thing can happen to these girls type of thing. His name is Kevin, and his like best friend, Benji, like immediately knows kind of what he did and like immediately like is like, you're not my friend anymore. There's a lot of whatever. And when she comes out, people are like, you know, what was she wearing? Well, she went upstairs with him. Well, like she was drinking and she kissed him back. Like, you know, that whole thing. Yeah. So like half the town, because he's the star player and they want to win, half the town is like, she should have, okay, even if he did do it, she should have waited. Or like they just don't believe that, like it just like turns into this like very like deep story. And her dad and her mom are like, oh, I love them so much. They're like just like amazing parents and like people. And their first son, and like he died like years prior. So they're just like, it's just like this like really like deep heartfelt story, but there's just like so much in it that I just feel like as girls, like you can kind of like relate to. I don't know. It just like turned into a completely different story than I thought it was going to be. So I bought the next two books because I'm like, okay, well now I have to read it. But
I like that.
Yeah. The first book ends where you don't really have to continue.
Okay.
But I want to.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
Thank you. You want to go next? We'll go back and forth.
Oh, sure. I'll start. So Shan's Library, is that her handle? Shan's Library?
I think so.
Okay. She's like a spooky girl like I am. When we say spooky lightly, like think, you know, PG-13.
Yeah, so think like Hocus Pocus.
Think about Hocus Pocus. That's like the level of witchiness that we like and spookiness. So she recommended For Better or Hearse. However, it is not witchy at all. I will say it has like dark romantic comedy-ish banter.
Okay.
So she, the main character, she goes by Ash, and her mom, and like she doesn't really like her. She likes her name, but it's like a weird name. So she goes by Ash, and she's a death doula. And she becomes this because along the way, she's in LA, so she's like land of the weird, right? Like you can kind of do whatever you want. So she was a bunch of different random things, and at one time she was like a certified breaker upper of weddings. Like, and if anyone objects, like I object, and like she always asked her clients for proof. And she broke up this one man's marriage with like a picture of him, quote unquote, cheating. Like there was a girl. The picture made it look like this girl was like in his lap. flash forward, she's with this one man. She's his death doula. He has terminal brain cancer. He's a billionaire. He owns like all these hotels, like all over the place. And all he wants is like to get his family together one last time. He's like, I've been an asshole all my life. Like, I just, money came first. Like, my daughter came second. And like, kind of no one really like talks to each other. Like, the oldest son ran off to like an oil rig to be a doctor out there. It's like, he hates his dad and doesn't want to follow in his footsteps. The other son and daughter are a little bit like a lot younger than the older brother. So like, they're off doing like their own thing. And like, I don't know, like the son, the older one doesn't talk to them either, but like not because of anything bad, just like age difference, I guess.
Okay.
So she's invited obviously along. Cause like, she's supposed to be with him. Like, she does whatever he wants and needs. So she helped kind of create this family vacation. When she gets there, she learns that the grandson is the one she broke up the wedding of. So she like goes in with this, like, you're a piece of shit because you cheated on your wife or your fiance. Mm-hmm. The, like, his mom doesn't really like her. Like, there's some like animosity. And the grandpa's just like sitting there like cracking the fuck up thinking he's hysterical.
Of course.
You come to find, like, I mean, spoiler, I guess if you want to, you come to find out that the picture was fabricated and it was actually his sister in the photo. Like, and it's described, like, even he's like, this is made to look bad, but like it's, that's like never happened. Like, she even shows a sister and she's like, ooh, fucking scandalous. Like, whatever. Yeah. This is a wannabe actress, whatever. So she kind of like helps bridge like the relationship between all the family members. Like, she calls everyone out on their shit, including like his dad, and everyone like hates the father. She is type 1 diabetic, so like, I like the rep there.
Okay.
Their issue isn't even like an issue. Like, there's really no like, there's definitely no third act breakup. I kind of like that though too. It's like written a little bit more mature, but like, I love the tension between the two characters the entire time, because like, they hate each other. And he just is letting her hate him because, like, he knows, like, obviously, like, that was his sister in the picture. But, like, he never really wanted to follow through with the wedding anyway. It was kind of, yeah, like an arranged marriage almost. Obviously, they fall in love. It's cute. Like, I gave it 3.5 stars. I think it got a little too lengthy in the end. Like, I was like, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? Like, where are we getting with this?
Yeah.
And the spice is good.
Okay.
But it was, like, a solid, like, not, like, a 3.5 star. Like, it's a solid 3.5 star book.
Right. Do you want to and what was it called?
For Better or Her. It's like a good okay. It's by Ava Hunter.
Okay. I feel like I've heard of her.
Yes. I feel there's hold on, let me pull up her profile. Tame the Heart, Runaway Ranch. She's like small town.
Small town. Okay. Which like, I don't want to say this because we do love a good I have been really struggling with small town romances lately, like in general.
You said it perfectly. I regurgitated your words to Shannon when we were talking this the other day.
What'd you say?
She was like, no, she's like, that's the most spot on thing I've ever fucking heard in my life. I was like, I know. Teresa was like, no, she hit the nail on the head with this.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I just feel like
you said, I'm gonna take your words out of your mouth for you. Small town yeah. romance is really great when it's a really great small town romance book. Like, think mm-hmm. of like you're now Debney Perry, Elsie Silver crushes it. Like, small town romance can be bad if you don't really, I think it's because we're just in like such a trope focused book world right now.
Yes.
And I understand, like, you're trying to cater to a market, but like, small town romance can be very bad if it's not written good. And Elsie Silver, I think, is queen of small town romance. You have like your Debney Perry. There's some other people out there too that obviously like slay at it. But then you read some stories and you're like, this is bad.
Yeah, there are just some, I don't know. Or I just feel like, oof, I'm like trying to not offend people. I feel like there are some authors, and this isn't every author who puts out a lot of books, because sometimes I'm like, yes, bitch, keep feeding me.
Yes.
Sometimes I just feel like people are just like writing really quickly and they're caring less about the stories, or because they're putting out like 10 plus books a year, it's almost like they're not taking enough time, or they're just like running out of good ideas. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like a lot of the small town romances I've been reading lately have just like not been good. And it's like disappointing because I do like the genre, but yeah, like a small town romance that's bad is bad.
Yes. Like, there's no other way to say it. It's bad.
And I just, I'm becoming uninterested. It's kind of, it's kind of like with the hockey romance, which I literally, this is beating a dead horse because I've talked about this so many times, but it's like, I loved them. There were so many great ones. Then it became like oversaturated. And I feel like the same thing is kind of happening with small town romance, where like everybody is writing small town romances. And they're just like too focused on the tropes versus like on writing a good story.
So something that Kay Bromberg, like, I feel like she like hit the nail on it because she's been around for a long time, right? Like,
yeah.
She's seen like, and she even said like when we were interviewing, like she's seen like the evolution of writing. Your OGs and your small town romance, one in particular, and I know I've screamed about her before, Nora Roberts. Like her earlier work is like what small town romance strives to be, in my opinion. Like, I'm sure there's other people out there, and I'm not gonna even like venture down because like I was so focused on small town romance when I was younger, and it's Nora Roberts-esque. And I feel like Elsie Silver does a lot of it really well. Obviously, in my mind, I think she's queen. But it's like I kind of wish like we weren't so like. I don't need Good Girl written in every small town romance book or certain like pet names and like certain scenes, like who did it. Like you don't need to pack that all in. Like just give me a good story. Like even the smut, like, or this, actually Liz said this perfectly too. I'm taking her words too. We should stop calling it smut. Like, like say it like it is. Like if there are sex scenes, great, but like make them have purpose. Like don't just throw us like 17 million sex scenes because you think that's all people want. And maybe that's what it is, but then that's not small town romance. That's
yes. And so, like, I feel like sometimes, like, again, the Good Girl thing or Who Did This to You, they're just like writing it in there because it's a good like clippable quote for like an Instagram post or a TikTok post or whatever like the reasoning is. And it's just like I've read it so many times that I don't like it anymore.
Yeah.
Like I need something new, like reinvent the wheel, because if I have to read like You're Such a Good Girl, You're Taking My Cock So Well, like one more time, I honestly just skim over it. Same. Like I don't even care anymore. I'm sorry. Like don't call me a good girl, because now like I've heard it too many times. It's lost its like pizzazz.
I'm with you. That's why like I feel like it's kind of nice that I've been doing like thrillers. Let's cut that word, Katie, from your vocabulary. You're not reading a thriller. You're reading a mystery. So like the mysteries I'm reading on or listening to, like it's been a nice cleanse for my ears. Because my eyes are still reading like the small town romance, which is fine. But yeah, I digress. Mic drop. I'm done.
Mic drop. No, I've been reading a lot more.
You're reading a lot more different stuff too.
Like fiction.
Yeah.
Versus like romance. And I think because I haven't found a romance recently that I've really, really loved. Unless it's like an author that I already know that I do love. Mm-hmm. So I am actually a big Anna Wong fan. I love the Twisted series. I read all those with my eyeballs. The King of like Sin series, I have listened to all of those on audio. I finally just did King of Sloth. And I love the audiobooks for this series so much because they're all duets. And they're all done so well. Like the voice actors are so good. And I'm calling them voice actors, not narrators, because I feel like when you do a duet, it's like more acty. Yeah. And I really, really, really liked King of Sloth. I didn't think I would, but I think Xavier, who is the male main character in it, he might be my favorite lead in an Anna Wong book, which is kind of crazy. I mean, I still love Christian Harper. Don't get me wrong. but I really liked him. And I love Dante Russo, which I think if I eyeball read King of Greed, I don't know if I would have liked it as much. But the Jacob Morgan doing like a New York / kind of Italian accent, it was just so good. So I really did like King of Sloth. And then Humble Brag, but I can talk about it because the podcast will come out on the 23rd. I signed an NDA with Bloom to get the Striker arc. But yeah, no, it comes out on the 22nd. I was like, wait, it comes out tomorrow. So I can technically talk about it because this will not come out until the 23rd. But the Striker is her newest book and it is her Gods of the Game series. So I believe that they'll all be on the same, they'll all be on, I'm going to call it soccer, football team. I believe that they'll, I know it's sports romance. I think they'll all be playing soccer.
Okay.
Or football, if you're listening from jolly old England, mate.
Actually, speaking of British and England, Leah's new word is like, it's not and not no. But she doesn't say not. She goes, not. I'm like, are you from London? Like, where were you yeah. from? She's like, yeah, not.
She is a proper posh lady.
Not. I'm not. Like, yes, ma'am. Okay.
I love that for her.
Right?
But the striker follows Asher Donovan. And if you've read Anna's other books, you've heard of him before. And it follows him and Scarlett Dubois. And he is a soccer player, duh. And she is a ballerina. And he mid-season transfers from his old team in Holchester, I believe, to his new team, Blackcastle. And they're, like, big rivals. And because of this, like, he just, like, he also just does not get along with the team captain. And so there's, like, all these issues. They end up losing, like, their final match against his old team. And the coach is like, you two have to get your shit together. So instead of getting the summer off, you're staying in London and you're doing like footwork at the ballet academy all summer together. Like work on your footwork and also on your relationship. Like figure out how to put this shit behind you so that next season, whatever. So when they get there, the person in charge is actually Vincent, his like rival, his sister.
Okay.
And she's apparently, like, she's, like, the most beautiful woman in the entire world. So Asher's, like, he's smitten kitten. And then Scarlett and Vincent, their parents are divorced, so the mom still lives in England and the dad lives in France. And the dad, like, suffers a fall. He's, like, okay, but he has to have, like, a nurse come, like, live with him while he's, like, kind of, like, rehabbing. So okay. Vincent has to go to France for the summer and, like, help take care of his dad. So the coach is like, just because this happened, like, you're not getting out of it. You still have to go to this, like, ballet training. So it's just, like, him and Scarlett, like, in close quarters. And it gets very spicy. Oh. But, like, not in a gratuitous way, because I know we just talked about that. It gets spicy in, like, a, oh, these people are falling in love kind of way. And it is hot. Asher is so hot. Like, something that Anna does really well is, like, write, like, very, like, flirty, like sexy male main characters. And she did a great job. And there's like, it is really good. My one complaint is, and all of her books are very long, but this one specifically felt very long. Like there is a point where I'm like, they're in love. Nothing is happening. Like for like 150 pages, like nothing happens.
Okay.
And I started getting bored.
Oh, that's a letdown.
And then it starts, like, to pick up again, like, towards the end, which the NDA was so that no one would discuss the end. And, like, to me, like, nothing happened. Like, obviously there's, like, a third act breakup type thing, but, like, nothing happened where I was like, oh, this is why they don't want us talking about it. I was like, oh, I saw this coming from a mile away. Like, this was very obviously what was going to happen. But I really, really did like it. I gave it 4 stars. I'm actually really curious. Like I said, her audiobooks are like, they're duets, or they have been at least. And they've been done really well. So I'm almost curious how this one would be with like the English accents. Cause the two main characters are English.
True. So yeah.
Yeah. So I might like have to just like take, maybe dabble. Yeah. Just, I mean, I love an English accent.
Who doesn't, honestly?
I know. I mean, those are like the only books that I care about discussing.
I feel that.
I read some others that just like aren't worth mentioning.
I listened and I highly recommend. This will be a top audiobook for me of this year. Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera.
Okay.
Okay, so it's not like...
Oh, yeah, you were talking... You posted about this.
Yeah, I will say the ending wasn't like a type of thing, but, like, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So this... essentially, let me go to my review because I was actually kind of proud of like the words I used. I was like, wow, who the fuck do I think I am writing these kinds of captions? Okay, so like imagine waking up with no memories from the night before. Like, so it's like me and you out one night, right?
Okay.
All of a sudden, like I'm walking down the street, I'm covered in blood. And some guy pulls up next to me, small town. So he's like, do you, like, Katie, do you need help? Like, are you okay? Like, I'm automatically thought of as a victim.
Yeah.
Come to find out your body is discovered in the woods. You've got like blunt force trauma to your head. You dead.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like over time, like it happens within like 12 hours, let's say. I now all of a sudden become like number one suspect.
Okay. So,
like, this is how this girl's portrayed. Like she basically has no recollection of her best friend's murder or anything leading up to her best friend's murder. So she's kind of like, again, dark humor involved. Like she's like, am I? I could be a murderer. Like here I am. Like, so she has this whole persona. She moves away. She goes to LA. But shockingly, anytime someone figures out that she's a suspect in a murder and she's like number one suspect, she always gets fired and let go for something else. So her grandma, who's a fucking hoot, gives her a call and she's like, bitch, you need to come home. There's a guy here that's doing a podcast. He's like determined to figure out who did it. And she's like, but grandma, what if I did it? And her grandma's like, nonsense, child, get home. So she flies home. You learn a lot about, like, there are flashbacks. So like as she's home, I don't think, and it's said in the book, like she really doesn't like make too much of an effort to learn about like maybe trying to revisit different scenes or trying different methods of like memory retrieval. But she does say like, I didn't try memory retrieval because a lot of times you can have false memories come to light. Like that, like, and I guess she did try something once where a memory did come through and it ended up being a false memory. So then people are like, oh, she's lying. She's like, I'm just trying. So like now I'm not going to try. Like think mm-hmm. of me as you want. Like if you think I really murdered my best friend, that's on you, but like whatever. So she's back. You learn a lot about like her past. Like basically she was abused by her ex-husband, but like she can't seem to like, but it's, I'm not saying it's a light situation, but like it's put into like a lighter context. Like she does keep coming back to him. And like, you do come to find out in her flashbacks, like her and her best friend were going to murder her husband. You do come to find out that like, she was like, Savvy, we can't, her best friend's name is Savvy. She's like, we're not doing this. Like, I can't murder. But you do learn that Savannah has murdered in the past.
Oh, kind of, I love that.
You kind of figure out why. The main character also has like the voice of Savvy in her head at all times.
Okay.
And she'll end up like, because she's been made out to be a murderer, she like now envisions people's murders. So like, she'll be like, I'll walk into house and be like, oh, I see a lamp shade and I can like take that off and use the lamp itself to bash you over the head and murder you. So she's like, this is what like being a mate, like the number one suspect has done to me. Like I've now created like this internal persona.
Yeah.
But embedded in the audio, like the podcast segments, this mm-hmm. guy like, interview people, it is the podcast. It's done so fucking well.
Okay.
It's like literally like I was lapping my complex like just to try to figure out like the ending. Like I like obviously you do kind of learn. I like how it's kind of left in the end too, because like there's no like hard evidence like when you figure out one way or the other what's going on. Major spoiler alerts obviously all around with that. But like it's 100% a top. It's definitely top 10, but it's going to be in my top 5 audiobooks.
Okay. It's on Everend.
Left to drop off the kids. So
I'll start it tomorrow.
It's literally done so well. And the podcast, I don't know if you've ever listened to the Serial on the podcast. It gives like those vibes, like in the short clips that you're getting of it. Think what you want of the story, but I think as a whole, just the way they did the narration, they fucking crushed it.
Yeah. Okay, I just added it on Everend, so I'll start it tomorrow on my way to work.
Yeah, so like, good. And I'm almost done with First Sly Wins. It is a Reese Witherspoon book.
Yeah.
Ashley Elston is the author. I like it. Like, people were – and it's, again, I think a lot of mysteries in quote-unquote thrillers might be, like, a back-and-forth flashback. That's the vibe I'm getting right now.
Okay.
And you do get a lot of back and forth. It's a girl who pretends to be someone else and like she's set on these jobs. I'll talk more about it on our next Spilling the Tea, but like just an FYI, if someone's thought about listening to it, as of right now with 1 hour and 45 minutes remaining, I recommend it. More to come.
More to come. Well, yeah, I already talked about what I'm currently reading. Obviously, more to come on that. And then I'll start whatever that book. I'm so bad. What was it called again? Listen for the Lie.
Listen for the Lie. I'm going to start, because we have a book for tomorrow's podcast, but I'm going to start The Wedding Witch by Erin Sterling, which is the XX author. It's like a continuation. So that's next on my radar.
Okay. Let me know how that is. Because I think her stuff is cute.
Her stuff is cute. It's not mind blowing. It's not fucking incredible. It's very
job done. Yeah. So it's just very cute. You know what you're getting. Yep. It's going to be a good time. It's not going to be like, it's not going to be mind blowing. It's a 5-star
book, but it's like a solid good read that you know you're going to like.
I really need, if anybody's listening and you've read Daydream by Hannah Grace, I know it came out. I have not seen anybody talking about it.
That's how I feel about The Wedding Witch. Like, the XX is a big book. Like, I don't want to say big book, but like there's a lot of people that spoke about it. It's always like recommended for witchy books. But I have not heard about The Wedding Witch.
You know, I'm like looking at my TBR card because I'm like, I keep being like, what am I going to read next?
Yeah.
And I keep saying that, I'm going to read Daydream next because whatever. Honestly, I think I'm just going to move it down. There's a lot that I really want to read. That, like, I'm just not in the mood for. Like, Goldfinch by Raven Kennedy. I would love to finish that series. But, like, I just haven't really been in a fantasy mood. And, like, the new Carissa Broadbent, I have that downloaded now. And I feel like Carissa's work, especially the Crowns of Nyxia series, it's not as daunting as Goldfinch. Yeah, for some reason,
it's a lighter fantasy, if you will.
Yeah. And we were just with her at an event last week, and everybody was talking about how good it is. So I'm excited, but that's why I'm like nervous, because I'm like, if I'm not in a fantasy mood, am I going to give it the attention it deserves?
Yep.
So I think sometimes like I'll be reading a book on Kindle and I'll only really read if I'm in bed. And then I have like a different book that is like, that I read like on the couch. Yeah. So I might do that where I might like start it, but if I'm not 100% focused on it, then I'll like read something else while I'm reading it so that it doesn't feel like homework. Cause I know I'm going to like it. I just need to be in the mood for it. And I'm just not in a fantasy mood. I realize that we go through ebbs and flows in general.
Yes.
Like we were like only reading fantasy in the beginning. And then I started tapering off into romance and then like,
what, Teresa Marie? Why don't for November we do Carissa's book?
Okay.
We'll kick off the winter season almost with a good fantasy.
I was going to say, let me see when it officially comes out. And then, I mean, not that you guys like care because we're always like, I was in the wrong app. I was like, why is it not coming up? Carissa. I think it comes out in, like, the middle of November. So we can do it for the end of the month.
December, too. Like, it doesn't really matter.
No. It comes out November 19th.
Okay.
So that means we can do it on the 27th. We'll talk about it a week later. So at the end of the month. Right before the Thanksgiving holiday.
I like it.
Okay, good. That'll inspire me.
Right?
But yeah, that's kind of it. Like Intermezzo by Sally Rooney I really want to read, but I don't know if I like her. I like her shows, her books. I haven't read anything by her. And I think her audiobooks are better because her writing style is weird. Like the dialogue, it's not like in quotation. It's kind of – so I feel like it's kind of hard to read her books, I've been told. Okay. But I really want to read it. And then I got the Tessa Bailey – Dream Girl Down, which is the third book in her Fan Girl series. It's another hockey romance. And I have that and I really want to read that. But other than that, I don't really, everything else on my cart is just like not calling to me.
I feel that.
And some of these books I've had for like almost 3 years and they haven't called to me yet, but you never know when they will. Like, some I'm like, should I just sell them at this point? And I'm like, no, because I think that one day I will want to read them.
So hold on to them a little longer. You never know. Winter's coming. You never know. You never know.
Exactly. I never, you know, you don't ever know. But yeah, that's all I have.
Same, girl. I gotta get my kids.
All right. Well, you go get your kids. I'll go have dinner and I'll talk to you tomorrow. I mean, I'll talk to you tonight, but like Katie and I are recording tomorrow for next week's episode. So stay tuned for the Laura Pavlov interview that we'll be doing for Finding Hayes. And on that note, Katie G.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.